Now, when you walk into the ring for the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening to all you precious Blood River Radio family members out there listening, no matter where you are in the world. Thank God for you. We surely appreciate you tuning in, and we do this show just for, we don't do it just for you, we'll have to be honest. We do this program, as we always say, for our, first and foremost, for our own family. You know, generosity starts at the home, but we do it for our family, our dear friends, and our dear radio faithful. You know, that's just the way it is. But anyway, people, you're listening to a Blood River Radio. My name is Eddie the Bombardier Miller. We're proudly syndicated nationwide by Liberty News Radio. And just in case you know what the date is, folks, it is the 10th of December in the year of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 2022. As we always say here on Blood River Radio, there is no name under the sun, no name under the heavens which man can be saved other than Jesus Christ. Geez, while we were yet sinners, Jesus Christ paid the price. He paid the sin debt so that we can be saved. It's a free gift. All we have to do is, John 3:16 said, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. And whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life." That's just the way it is, folks. There's only one way. No, I don't care what people say. And people, as you always say, we always say, and you always know, we always go to a prayer. But today, tonight, we're, instead of going to a prayer, we're going to read scripture. And I'm going to read kind of like a parallel scripture, what Rand did last week, because I was impressed with it. I'm going to make up one point that he didn't make. He read Matthew, but where the parallel scripture is Mark. Mark 13, and this is the King James Bible, King James Version. It's pretty much the only one I ever use. If you go to Mark, open your Bible, Mark 13, chapter 13. It's entitled Signs of the End. Excuse us, hi, folks. I've been out running in this wet weather, and it's not conducive to good breathing. Anyway, folks, here we are. Like I said, I'm repeating myself. Mark, King James Version, Mark 13, chapter 13, sign of the end. "And as he went out into the temple," he being Jesus Christ, "one of his disciples saith unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat down upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign when all things shall be fulfilled? And Jesus answering to them began to say, Take heed, lest any man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And when you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be you not troubled, for such things must need be. But the end shall not be yet. For nations shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in diverse places." That means many places. "And there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginning of sorrows. But take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up." People, this is people. The reason I'm making this point here, I want you to ask yourself if you really believe in the rapture after hearing this right here. "But take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to the councils and in the synagogues you shall be beaten, and you shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. And the gospel must first be published among all nations, but when they shall lead you and deliver you up, and take no thought beforehand what you shall speak, neither do ye premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son, and the children shall rise up against their parents, and shall call them to be put to death. And you shall be hated among all men for my name's sake. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And I tell my brothers and sisters, you know, that just doesn't seem to go fit well with the so-called rapture. Because I'm telling you what, you ain't going to be raptured nowhere, folks. You're going, according to Scripture, you're going to be around to the bitter end. Anyway, praise be to God. People, we have a great guest on tonight. Fella been doing a long time. Let me get all this Bible out of the way. His name is C.W. He is a very intelligent man. He's a scientist. That's all I'll say. But he makes his living being a scientist. He's coming on tonight because this COVID thing has just been broke loose not long ago. This COVID virus, you know, half the world was a lot vaccinated, probably more than half the world vaccinated with the so-called coronavirus vaccine. And we were all locked down in our houses. Businesses were destroyed. You know, people went crazy for being locked up and just had all kinds of psychological problems. Well, anyway, we're really in good shape tonight. We've been blessed because CW is coming in. He's coming on. And listen, right before I forget, the second hour, you all know Big Sister Nancy Hitz. She's going to be coming on, and she's going to be talking about the FBI and the deep state and just how evil and the corrupt they have been all these years. She's got some personal stories she wrote. She's had this personal letter she got for herself from Gordon Call. So that's going to be the second. That's going to be the second hour. Let's see, one more announcement here. Let's see, almost forgot. I got to read the donors. I'm getting all excited. We got this one donor. I'll just call him Mr. Anonymous. He sent in a really nice donation 2 days ago, cash. And he says, here's what he says. Mr. Miller, this is an anonymous donation to Blood River Radio. God bless. Thank you, Mr. Anonymous. Thank you so much. I can totally understand why you don't want your name to be out there. I certainly do. Anyway, here we have also, we have Sister Janice. You all know Janice. She's the sister. She's the wife of Rich Hamblin. And we know her all too well. Rode to Charlottesville, Rich Hamblin, back in August of 2017. Anyway, she sent in a nice donation. She always does every quarter. Thank you so much, Sister Janice. I really appreciate that. People like you keep us going. Also, our buddy James, from Washington State, that's all I can say. But he's has a beautiful family. He sends me a picture of his family, the very athletic family, Christian family. He's just a wonderful person. His whole family is great. They're all athletic, and he is a regular donor too. He's one of the people who keeps us on the air. Let's see, another announcement here. Gene, the bitter ender, who's been, I know a lot of people have been asking about Gene. Gene's been out, 6 weeks? He's scheduled to come back in next, the 17th. But he will only be here one weekend, and the next weekend after that, the 24th, is Christmas Eve. And so I don't know what we're going to do Christmas Eve. We may pre-record. If we do a show, a live show, it's going to have to either be pre-recorded or we'll have to do a rerun, because I'm sure nobody will be in Liberty News Radio studios that Christmas Eve. I'd be surprised if they did. Here's what we got next. Let's see. Oh, tonight. Yeah, I just gave the outline. We have CW coming on tonight. And Sister Nancy coming on the second hour. So just to repeat myself, we're going to give you everything we know, the latest news on the coronavirus and the death reports in the VAERS report as of May 28th, 2021. And our guest tonight is the scientist CW, Phi Beta Kappa scientist CW. How you doing tonight, CW?
Well, I'm fine, Eddie. How about yourself?
Trying to keep getting tongue-tied on that long introduction. my poor little memory, man. It's, you know, my memory never was worth a damn. And it's worse now than it's ever been since 75 years old, son. I wish my mind works as good as my feet. But anyway, CW being the brain he is, and I'm not exactly a dumbass. I was trauma certified. CW probably never knew that. I was trauma certified RN at the Elvis Presley Memorial Trauma Center. But CW is about three or four significant digits above me. So I'm going to just hang on as best I can. He sent all these damn charts to me. I'm thinking, I don't think Einstein could read this shit, man. But anyway, I was just joking with you. People, I've got some great reports here on the before and after the introduction of the COVID vaccines, the reports of deaths before and after, the hospitalizations before and after, permanent disability, life-threatening, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm going to shut up right now. I think what we're going to do, see what CW wants to do, we want to start, CW, we can start with an overview of what you did last time. I think the people need to have a little review about that. Because that was one of the greatest shows we've ever done. We have a lot of people commented upon that, how good it was. We could do that. And also, we could talk about a new breaking story last week from this Dr. Andrew Huff, who was an insider in the Wuhan virology lab there, who's spilling the beans. So anyway, CW, why don't we just start, give us an overview. We get about a minute and a half before the break, maybe a minute. So what time we have before the break? Tell us a little bit, get us started on the overview from start to finish. And maybe you might want to talk about that Lancet article, what you did the last time he was on the show. But anyway, rock and roll, CW.
Okay, sure, Ed. We'll jump right in there. I think it's important to kind of get a
there's the music, CW. We got to take a quick break. I've used up that whole thing doing the intro. Beer, folks, be right back. Had to do a long intro there, so we'll be right back after this first commercial break. Hang on to your seats.
Attorney Jason Robb, General Counsel of the Knights Party based out of Harrison, Arkansas, and proud supporter of Blood River Radio. I, like you, am concerned about the destruction of our beloved America and our racial kindred people and our cherished liberties. As an individual and as a nation, liberty is what we seek. Liberty is important. It is what allows us to be independent, and if properly used, liberty allows us to fully worship God in all areas of life. And with that worship comes more liberty. We are on the verge of anarchy in this country, and personal liberty is looked upon as a crowning achievement of the people. However, Christianity and white law and order is viewed as the enemy of this newfound freedom, and that is why it is under attack. Learn more by listening to Blood River Radio every Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. Callforcivility.com.
Dear Blood River Radio family, I'm going to shut up because that first segment took me along. I tried to cram a lot in that first segment. So we're going to go to CW right now. We're going to get in the meat of this interview, and you need to pay attention because this is some really heavy stuff. Go ahead, CW.
Yeah, okay, Ed, as we were talking about, kind of a brief overview of what's happened in the past 3 years. It's been a whirlwind and a big ride, as you pointed out. But just wanted to bring folks up to date on what happened and when it started. So the first case of this coronavirus was in Wuhan. That's a city in China. And it actually started in October of 2019. So that started cranking up. And on December the 12th of that year, China reported a cluster of patients in that county, basically, around that city. And so that's when it kind of got global attention. Then we jump forward to January the 3rd, 2020, and China informed the World Health Organization that they have 40 cases of pneumonia of undetermined origin. So it's kind of picking up speed there. And then we go to January the 10th, and they announced that they identified a virus, and they're calling it, it was labeled the 2019 novel coronavirus, or NCOV as it's abbreviated. And up to January the 19th of that year, 2020, it was reported that the coronavirus had been reported in outside of China and several other countries, including Thailand, Japan, and Korea. And this is when it started spreading to the rest of the world. Now, early on, it's interesting that they tried to quarantine it in Wuhan, the Chinese did. And the way they did that was they basically put a fence around the place and tried to keep people in there. But they did allow air traffic to go out of Wuhan and fly to other cities in China. Now, sometime along in that time frame, they, or some group did, tried to inhibit or prevent airplanes from leaving Wuhan and go to other places in the world. But you could get on an airplane in Wuhan and go to another large city in China like Shanghai, and from there get on a plane and go any place in the world. So the net effect of that was you could get on a plane in Wuhan where the Chinese had it locked down and leave and go to any place in the world. So that's what you would want to do if you were trying to spread it everywhere. And the World Health Organization declared it a public health emergency on January the 22nd of that year. And by January the 24th, there were two confirmed cases in the United States. That's January the 24th, 2020. So we're going to bump up to March the 17th, 2020, and this is a significant date in my opinion. This is the date that Moderna Therapeutics, which was one of the manufacturers of the messenger RNA vaccine, began their first human trials to protect against the COVID-19 at a research facility in Washington, Seattle, Washington. Now, remember that the first two cases in the United States were on January the 22nd. So here we are like 6 or 7 weeks later, and they've got a vaccine that they're going to start trials on. So that's moving pretty fast. Apparently this virus didn't exist, or it wasn't known until December of 19, which was 3 months prior to them starting human trials. Now, normally it takes a long time to get a vaccination, you know, ready for consumption by the public, and you have to do a lot of studies and research before you go to clinical trials. But yet they were doing human trials starting March the 17th in 2020. So that's an important timeline to keep in mind. Then a little bit later on in March, they get into this was when Trump was president. He authorized stockpiling of hydroxychloroquine, which was a drug that had been shown to prevent the coronavirus or other viruses, rather, from it was a therapeutic agent that you could use on other viruses. So they were going to stockpile that. And interestingly, the same day, the CDC came out, another government agency, and warned against using chloroquine phosphate without the recommendation of a doctor or pharmacy. So right off the bat there, you've got a conflict between whether to use these drugs for treatment of this thing. The CDC did not want you to use the drug. Apparently Trump and his medical advisors thought it was a good idea to stockpile it. And this controversy will continue all through the next year as well, and also include the drug ivermectin, which is similar to hydroxychloroquine. Okay, and then on April the 30th, 2020, 6 weeks later, the Trump administration launched what they call Operation Warp Speed to produce a vaccine against the virus. And remember now, Moderna had already started human trials 6 weeks before that. So he was a little bit late out of the box on that one. Let's see. And then we get to May the 22nd, where our friends at The Lancet published a large study showing that patients who received the antimalarial drug hydroxychloroquine die at higher rates and experience more complications than if you don't receive the drug. So this is a continuation of the controversy about giving people early treatment versus giving them the vaccine. In theory, if you could have come up with a drug to treat the illness or the disease, it would have mitigated a lot of the need for vaccination. And we get down to, on June the 4th, The Lancet and the New England Journal of Medicine had to retract the two publications that halted trials on the drug hydroxychloroquine because of inconsistencies in the data. So we've got The Lancet and the New England Journal publishing an article and then having to retract it later, which is really embarrassing for a major publication. On December the 11th, 2020, so we're at the end of the year in 2020, about a year after the virus first appeared on Earth, the FDA gave an emergency use authorization for Pfizer to start using its COVID-19 vaccine. And the vaccination program kicked off in earnest, I'm going to say, the first of the next year, really got cranked up and, increased in usage as the year went on and more people got vaccinated. And later in that year is when you got into the controversy about the vaccine with people not wanting to take it. And the government at first, they played nice and said, well, if you'll take this vaccination, we're all in this together and it'll help prevent herd immunity. But turns out that did not happen. And then later they said, well, if you'll take the vaccine, they offered prizes like, a free bus ride or free trip to McDonald's, and in some cases college tuition to get you to take the vaccination. So there was a big push to encourage you to do that. And then when that played out, then they started getting nasty and saying you had to take the vaccination. And if you didn't, you were going to be fired from your job, et cetera, et cetera. So that was kind of how that unfolded. But in March of 21, several countries in Scandinavia suspended the use of the AstraZeneca vaccine because it was linked to reports of blood clots. And in April of that year, the CDC, our CDC and the FDA also recommend pausing the use of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine because of 6 cases of what they call rare and serious blood clot in people who received it. So the issue of blood clots is popping up in the early 21. And I will point out that these two vaccinations are not the messenger RNA vaccination that Moderna and Pfizer had. It's two different technologies. But we're going to find problems with the same thing with the other vaccines as time goes on. And this was another significant event in July of 21. They had a bunch of breakthrough infections of COVID-19 in Massachusetts. And what was pertinent about this is that this was in a vaccinated population. So we have people who were vaccinated and they had got what's called the Delta variant. And it appears that vaccinated people could transmit the virus to other people, which supposedly was not supposed to happen. So that's something else that went wrong. And in August of 21, the CDC released a statement to the public stating that vaccination is safe for pregnant and breastfeeding people. There's no evidence that any vaccines, including COVID-19, cause fertility problems in women or men. That's about it, Eddie. That's kind of the main recap on that part of it.
Did an excellent job, and believe it or not, we have to go to our second break, and we'll come right back. We'll get into some of these charts that you sent me, CW. People, hold on to your seat. We're going to get further into the meat of this project as soon as we come back from this break. Hang on, folks.
pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
Former Michigan Governor Rick Snyder will not face charges related to the Flint water crisis. He was the first person in state history to be charged for alleged crimes related to service as governor. City managers he appointed to oversee Flint opted to use the Flint River as a cost-cutting measure, but the water was not treated, the system contaminated for more than a year, leading to an outbreak of Legionnaire's disease and 9 deaths. A judge dismissed the charges due to a state Supreme Court opinion from over the summer. Snyder is the 8th person to have charges against him dismissed in the Flint water case. Carrie Lake is challenging the results of last month's gubernatorial election in Arizona. The Republican lost by less than a percent to Democrat Katie Hobbs, but the margin between the two candidates is not within the range that would trigger an automatic recount. The results of her defeat were certified this week. Lake is suing Hobbs, who is Arizona's Secretary of State, as well as officials in Maricopa County, alleging that the election was corrupted in the state's largest county and that she should be declared the winner. Russian forces are continuing to push through eastern Ukraine, where President Vladimir Putin illegally claimed 4 provinces in that part of Ukraine as part of the Federation. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky says Kremlin troops have turned the city of Bakhmut into ruins, adding the situation remains very difficult in several frontline cities in the Donetsk and Luhansk provinces of the Donbass. Putin has been waging war in the Ukraine for more than 9 months. Soccer journalist Grant Wall is being remembered as not only covering the big stories, but for helping to popularize the sport in the U.S. Wall wrote for Sports Illustrated for more than 2 decades before starting his own website. He was covering his 8th World Cup in Qatar, a match between Argentina and the Netherlands, when he fell back in his seat in the reporter section of Lucille Stadium. Wall was 48 years old. You're listening to USA Radio News.
So right now may be the perfect time for you to rethink how you pay for healthcare, and here's why. Not only is it open enrollment for a lot of people, it's also a time you can join MediShare and save even more than usual. And it's true, the typical family switching to MediShare saves $500 or more a month, which is obviously huge for a lot of people, but what's more, they like it. MediShare has double the customer satisfaction rate compared to health insurance. Double. There are 400,000 members, they've shared over $4 billion in medical bills, and it really is a great community too. People encourage and pray for each other. And here's the thing, if you join MediShare Complete right now, they'll waive your new member fees and you'll save an additional 10% off all of 2023. That's right, no fee to join, 10% off every month of next year, but it's a very limited time offer. You have to sign up before December 31st. Great savings, great health care. Find out more. Call now, 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE, 833-34-BIBLE.
Dear Blood River Radio family, we're going to go right back to our scientist, our Phi Beta Kappa scientist, who's flying way above me, but he sent me these great documents. There's 5 of them. One of them is what the scientist says, VAERS. It's called a Vaccine Adverse Effect Reporting System. They do that. There's people and organizations that they're supposed to report. They're supposed to record any type of adverse effect from a vaccine. For instance, if you get anaphylactic shock, if your blood sugar drops, if you break out in hives, if you have a hard time breathing, all these things. In this one chart we're going to go to says before and after the introduction of the COVID vaccines, we're going to talk about reports of deaths, the number of hospitalizations, the number of permanent disabilities, and the number of life-threatening reactions that have been linked to all vaccines that were given between 1990 and the year of 2020, which is a 30-year period. Then we're going to go cover the same data, reports of death, reports of hospitalizations, permanent disability, and reports of life-threatening events, adverse events that are linked to vaccinations. The 30-year period is all vaccinations. From 1990 to 2020, we'll be talking about the links of adverse effects that were linked to all vaccinations. For instance, smallpox, MMR, flu shots, stuff like that. Then we're going to jump over, and the scientist is going to talk about the adverse effects from the year 2021 that are linked to just the vaccine from the COVID vaccine. Anyway, go ahead, CW.
Okay, referencing what you were talking about, this is just a summation of the reports that were given to the VAERS system. And as you said, VAERS means Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. So what happens there is if you get a vaccination, anybody, you don't have to be a doctor or a nurse, it can be the patient or their family, they can call in and report what happened. So it's kind of open in that respect, but there were a bunch of vaccines that, you know, were in use before this recent one came out against the coronavirus. And if you look at the data on it, just looking at the deaths in the years 1990 to 2000, 2020, that's 30 years, there were 4,900 deaths, and that's from all of the vaccines prior to the release of the coronavirus vaccine. And then in the year 2021 to 2022, there were, it went, the per year death rate went from 163 in the 30 years before the coronavirus vaccine to right at 8,000 deaths per year in 1 year after the release of the vaccine. So just from that data alone, and by the way, this is the government's own data. This is available on their website, and you can go there and look at it. And if we go down to hospitalizations, that jumped up about 3,000%, which is a 30-fold increase. Permanent disability jumped up 2,000%, that's a 20-fold increase. And life-threatening reactions jumped up 2,100%, so that's a 21-fold increase. So by all of these metrics, what we're seeing is that with the coronavirus vaccination, all of these adverse events are markedly increased. Now, I'm going to contrast that. I'm going to go to the CDC themselves, and I've got a release off their website from December of this year, and I want to read you what they're saying. In big bold print, it says, hundreds of millions of people have safely received a COVID vaccination. It's another bullet point here. They say COVID-19 vaccinations are safe and effective. And then they point out that these vaccines, Pfizer and Moderna, will continue to be the most intensively safety monitored in U.S. history. So they're keeping a close eye on this problem. And as far as adverse events goes, and they say in parentheses, serious safety problems are rare. In rare cases, people have experienced serious health events after COVID-19 vaccination. And then they list four of them here, anaphylaxis, thrombosis, myocarditis, and Guillain-Barré syndrome. And the next bullet point, it says reports of death are rare. Well, I don't think a 4,800% increase is rare. That would be common to me, because that's 48 times greater than it was in the past 30 years. So I'm not sure how they arrived at that conclusion. But you can see a little bit of a disparity there between what their website says and what their data says. So there's some possible explanations for that, but on the surface of it, it does seem kind of strange. It could be that, they're not reporting this correctly or not taking all of the data. And some people have questioned whether these numbers aren't even higher. They've had some PhD-level statisticians look at the way this data is collected in the VAERS system, and it's kind of sloppy. And these statisticians agree that the data that is collected is probably underreported. So instead of, 8,000 deaths, we may be looking at 80,000. That's a tenfold increase. And some of them say even more, numbers as high as 40 times more. And if you want to, I could recommend a a video you can see on the internet. It's called Deborah Conrad, and this appeared on September the 16th of 21. And she's on a program called Highwire with Dell Bigtree. And it gives her experience in trying to report to the VAERS system and what she encountered. I would recommend that if you're interested in kind of looking into how these numbers are derived.
So give that one more time. Yeah, go ahead, CW. Give that one more time and read it slowly.
Okay. Deborah Conrad, D-E-B-O-R-A-H, C-O-N-R-A-D, and she's on a broadcast with called Highwire, H-I-G-H-W-I-R-E, and the host is Dell, D-E-L, last name Bigtree, just like it sounds, and it aired on September the 16th of 2021. It's about an hour and 5 minutes long, and I think you'll find her testimony very convincing and honest and heartfelt. So I'd check that out and kind of get an idea of what she encountered when she tried to report some of these things to the VAERS.
I'm certainly going to watch that. I tell you what, without getting too moralistic, this before we end the show, I'm just astounded at how the government always fights in the super government, the people above the government. They always fight us, we the people, trying to get to the truth of things like this. I don't want to get too ahead of the show, but it looks to me like that this is a kind of a euthanizing, a population, a herd thinning apparatus, or, you know, a device with all these so-called vaccinations and stuff. I'm just going to go over this one more time because I think it bears reporting. It needs to be repeated. The reports of death, I'm just going to go this one more time, people, on a 30-year period, let this sink in, of a 30-year period from 1990 to the year 2020, it's 30 years, 4,900 deaths, reports of death linked to all vaccines. This is like I said earlier, the MMR, mumps, measles, rubella, smallpox, diphtheria, any type of vaccine you want to think, all vaccines combined, 163 deaths per year. Okay, jump forward to the year 2021 to 2022, one stinking year. Okay, going back one more time, per year, 4,900 deaths in a 30-year period. In a period of one year, 7,988 deaths. My God Almighty, we went from 163 deaths per year. Go ahead, CW.
I was just going to clarify one thing. Now, what you're quoting there is deaths per year.
Correct.
In the 1 year was actually close to 16,000 deaths, but yeah, in the per year it went from 163 per year in the 30 years prior, and then it went to 8,000. In 1 year. So that's how you get to a 4,800% increase.
Exactly right. I don't know how in the hell these people can say that these vaccines are totally safe. Anyway, go right. People, here's one more. We got to go to another quick break. Hold on to your seats. We'll be right back.
What is great about America? Ask an Immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
Small Business Tech Guys is a team of experts ready to assist you with any service relating to growing your business. Our team specializes in information and technology, social media, general consulting, and HR. We thrive on assisting startup entrepreneurs with growing their businesses. If it's small business, it's our cup of tea. To schedule your free discovery call today, consider sbtechguys.com. We keep an eye on tech, so you don't have to. sbtechguys.com.
During our war for Southern independence, the brilliant Confederate general Robert E. Lee foretold the decline of this country when he prophesied, if those people, referring to the dictatorial federal government, if those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home. As Lee predicted, it has come to pass. The principles laid out in our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, and the individual rights protected in our Constitution have been vilified and discarded. But not everyone has surrendered. Blood River Radio brings you highly respected, intelligent guests not afraid to speak the truth when the truth in America today is censored and attacked. Your contributions keep us on the air in order to fight against the bullies abroad and the tyrants at home. Send your war contributions to Blood River Radio, P.O. Box 34636, Bartlett, Tennessee, 38184. That address is on our website, www.bloodriverradio.com. Don't let the bullies and the tyrants win.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Dear Blood River Radio family, I tell you what, I'm pretty well shaken. It's anger and disbelief of what, when I say the government, I mean the government and the super government, the people that really run the show, the people that really, who really run things. Like just a, this is a quick aside, a quick rabbit trail. Like former President Bill Clinton said, you can look at this up. He said, he told people after he was safe when he was about to get into his presidency, he says, and I'll almost quote it. He said, by the time you get to be president or senator or Supreme Court justice, he said, you'll find that someone else has already made the decisions for you. Any future decisions you will make that that come up, they will be made for you. He said, so what I'm telling you is, what you really have is you have virtual senators, you have virtual Supreme Court justices. He said, you have virtual presidents. That's just the way it is. He said, that's the way the world works. Well, people, I'll tell you what, and it's an evil, evil, evil system. With that aside, that rabbit trail, our great scientist who's coming on his own time, he doesn't get a nickel out of this, and we're blessed. We're really blessed to have him. He's going to give you some more of the vital sites that you need to go to get more information. We always talk about solutions on this program, on this broadcast. It's not a show. It's a broadcast. We try to do service for our people. And he's going to give you some other sites to go to. And then we're going to go to a military, a Department of Defense study that was put forth before a congressional committee, I believe. Anyway, go ahead, CW. Please give the, if you will, give our audience these other sources of information, websites, podcasts, whatever, anything that will help our people. That's what we want, CW. So go ahead.
Okay, I appreciate that. Yeah, I've gotten a lot of information from Dr. Chris Martinson. He has a podcast called Peak Prosperity, P-E-A-K-P-R-O-S-P-E-R-I-T-Y. And he's a pathologist by training and really, really smart guy and very honest and very great at going through all this data and drawing good conclusions. I would check him out. He's got a podcast when he can get it on the air and he's not removed, but he goes into a lot of these medical issues, and so anything he does on the coronavirus, I pay attention to.
Let me ask you a quick question. Would you like? Here's what I'd like to do, if it's possible, if we could get that fellow on the air and let you interview him. If we could get him on Blood River Radio. Would you be up for that?
Well, you could. You can try. I'll talk to you about it later, but he's super duper busy. I mean, I doubt if he's going to have
well,
time,
so are
but,
you.
Yeah, I'll talk to you. Yeah, but I'm not as busy as he is. Anyway, well, the second thing I wanted to point out was a video that I just saw last week, and it's kind of taken the internet by storm. It's called Died Suddenly, and it's related to the issue of blood clots post-vaccination. And you can find that one on a media site called Rumble, R-U-M-B-L-E. And if you'll just, they have a search bar, just type in Died Suddenly. And it's pretty compelling evidence about the problems that are occurring with blood clots in post-vaccinated people. Okay, now from that, I'm going to jump over to another database. This one comes from the Defense Medical Epidemiology Database, or DMED. This is, I think, a Department of Defense, another U.S. government agency, of course. And this one came to, let's see, yeah, I think it was sometime last year. I don't remember when. But anyway, somebody got a hold of this database, and it was public. You could go on it and
2021,
look at it.
But go ahead. Yeah, I'm sorry. Didn't mean to interrupt you. I'm sorry.
It's okay. All right. Anyway, I wanted to point out what their findings were in the year 2021 when all of these vaccinations came out. And some of the things they noticed were that hypertension went up 2,000%, nervous system diseases 1,000%, malignant tumors of the esophagus 900%, multiple sclerosis about 700%, cancers of the digestive organs 625%, Guillain-Barré syndrome, which is a neurological problem, 550%. Breast cancer was up 500%. Malignant cancers of the thyroid and other endocrine glands, 500%. Female infertility, 500%. These are all percentages. 500% is a fivefold increase. Pulmonary embolus, that's a blood clot to the lung, up about fivefold. Migraines up. Ovarian problems up. Testicular cancer up 400%. And heart fast heart rate up about 300%. So they were finding a lot of what they call safety signals in the trade. And normally this would be, you know, a clue to say, hey, something's going on here. What is it? But in this particular case, when this was pointed out that this data existed on this database, the next day the database was taken down. And so, and the numbers I gave was an increase over the previous 5 years. And later on, I think that they said the database had been flawed for the previous 5 years, and that's why we were finding this. So apparently the Department of Defense was not very keen on keeping their database correct. They let it show a 500% excess for the previous 5 years' data. So, but anyway, that's the story on that one. So, again, kind of getting some safety signals there as well. Do you have any questions about that, Ed?
No, I was just going to make a comment, though. Everybody and his mama on Blood River Radio, they know that I use the VA. And I think I'm in the process, I think, trying to wean myself away from the VA. I know my personality, so I know you won't be shocked. I had a little incident out there, Thursday or Friday. This is another rabbit trail. I went out to the VA to see my doc. I'm not going to say who he is, but he sees eyeball to eyeball with us, but I guess he's kind of trapped in the system. He's an MD. And I was going to show him my two medals. My latest one, I ran the New York Marathon in November and the one in December, because I always give him credit. I said, you know, you're a physician. You've helped me. You and this other well-known physician at the VA got me on the right blood pressure medicine. You got me off of the 23 meds on the three. And I went from couldn't hardly walk to running on and on and on. And I'll show these various physicians medals and keep them up. I give them my progress, and because they take pride in helping me along. You know, I mean, they've rescued me from being in real poor health. It's kind of a human interest story, I guess you'd say. But they wouldn't let me in because they thought they weren't going to let me in and without a mask. But I went on in anyway, and then I met some resistance, and so. Being the person I am, I took a knee and I said, well, I'm going to go ahead and worship the Baal and go ahead and give my submissive sign and put this mask on. And I said, no, second thought, I'm not going to do it. So I had to leave. I couldn't wear that mask. But, you know, this story is – the reason I'm saying that is it makes a point is the government has to know that they have to know that these vaccines are killing people, they have to know that these measures they're taking, like wearing a mask, are totally worthless. And I'm going to run that by our scientists. If that, am I right or wrong? If I'm wrong, you can correct me, scientist. These masks are.
On the mask issue, interestingly, when this whole thing first started, Fauci himself said that wearing a mask was of no help. He later changed his mind and said to wear three masks at a time. And there was a recent study that came out, and basically there was no benefit from wearing a mask. And, you know, it's been kind of mixed over the different countries around the earth. Some of them said it was, some of them said it wasn't, but you know, it's hard to know what to believe. You get these different stories. I mean, it makes a little bit of sense, but when you see people with a mask on, a lot of times the mask is under their chin, you know, and it's hard to see how that's going to work. And then they drape these napkins around their head, and they've got holes in them the size of my fist on either side of the nose. I don't think a virus would have any trouble getting through that. And some of the studies show that the mask has to be constructed of a certain material, and you know, if you block all the viruses out, which are tiny, you know, you're going to be blocking a lot of the air out. So that's a problem. And there's always like the area between the nose and the top of the lip is usually going to be open because the mask has to go over the nose if it's not form fitted. And that's a big hole. And when you breathe in, you're creating a negative pressure in your lung, and that's going to draw in air through the least resistance. So the virus isn't going to go through the mask. It's going to go around the hole by the nose. So, you know, it just makes common sense that it probably is not doing much.
You know, CW, I think you said previously in private conversation or in this program that that the data shows that, you know, traditionally, as far back as probably 100 years, people have worn, surgeons have worn masks. OR nurses have worn masks during surgery. I believe you said that the data shows that the mask the physicians and the nurses and the anesthesiologists wear in surgery have really proved to be of little value, if any. Am I wrong on that? Maybe I'm just
I think I might have mentioned that there was a study that came out of Harvard before all of this started with the coronavirus, and they looked at masks and concluded that they really weren't that effective, even a surgical suite. So, yeah, I mean, there's not a lot of evidence there. It kind of looks good, and, you know, it's kind of virtue signaling in a way. Say, hey, I got my mask on, I'm thinking about you. And, you know, if you go to coughing into the air and you got a mask over your mouth, it's going to pick up some of the particles, but mainly those are droplets and not the tiny little things they call aerosols. So, might be a little bit of benefit if you do that, but otherwise, probably not much.
You know, speaking of benefit versus harm, I also think CW that you told me once before that they're starting to find particles of the masks are made out of, the material they're made out of. I don't know if it's microscopic, how small or how large the particles are, actually be in people's airways and even in their lung tissue. And
they found plastic mask particles in lungs. I don't think that's probably going to be too healthy. And other studies have shown, you know, if you take the mask off, actually you're supposed to change the mask after you wear it for like 6 hours or something. I can't remember, a day or something like that, every day. Of course, nobody does that, but you can take the mask and cut a piece off of it, throw it in a culture dish, and you're going to grow out a lot of pathogens, you know, from your airway. The mask is trapping. I mean, you got germs in your mouth and in your nose, and they get hung up in the mask, and they're ventilated with warm exhaled air and moisture, and they grow. So, and then you breathe in some of those germs.
Well, I was going to ask you another question, but we've run out of time already. But I was going to say, thank you so much for coming on tonight because you're extremely busy. I have this huge business, and your time is valuable. But I wish we had run out of time already. CW, I will be getting back to you very soon. Thank you so much. We owe CW a debt for coming on and telling us all this stuff. And I think you've benefited. We talk about solutions. He's giving you solutions I think you should be able to get from the data that he's given us tonight. Don't take the vaccines. Don't take the jab. Thank you so much, CW. We'll get contact with you soon. Dear people, we're going to Blood River Radio family, we're transitioning to the second hour. We're going to pick up Miss Nancy Hill. So hang on, people. Get some coffee.